This is show three, the conclusion of our three-show bundle featuring D.S. Leiter and her project, Assertive Spirituality. We invite you to listen to the three-show bundle and then sign up for our talkback, where D.S. will be our guest and you can ask her your questions. That will be Wednesday, September 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Again, Wednesday, September 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern. A link to sign up is in the show notes, or go to our website, whatingods.com. That's all one word, whatingods.com, and click the magic button there.
Welcome to What in God's Name. He is Chris Owen.
And she is Shayna Appel.
We are the podcast seeking to reclaim our shared social narrative.
Indeed. We want to use the lenses of theology and philosophy to go deeper, to ask deeper questions, to give deeper answers to the vexing questions of our shared common life. Because we think that politics and economics, which are the usual and default ways of framing public issues, while important, they don't go deeply enough into what ails us as a culture and into what can be healing for us as a culture. If you've landed on this show by chance, you have landed on show three of three in a show bundle. You're more than welcome to carry on and listen to what is coming, but you might find it a little more meaningful to circle back to shows one and two of this bundle. Because today, in show three of our show bundle, we are reflecting on the conversation we had with D.S. Leiter, founder and writer of the blog Assertive Spirituality.
Go Badgers.
We are fans of D.S. Leiter's work, and so we invite you to support her on her blog. Sign up on her Facebook page. She's got an active Facebook page. Shayna, when we did show one of our bundle, we did a little introduction with some questions. Is it time to go there? Shall we ask some questions?
Your inner teacher came out and posited three questions to create a framework in which we might listen to the interview, and I found the questions very, very helpful and enlightening. But I also just have to say, Chris, I mean, I know I've been doing this show with you for 4 years, and I knew you were a good interviewer, but this was an exceptional interview, and I want to thank you for finding DS and for bringing her to all of our attention. She really is quite a gem.
She's doing good work, and thank you for those kind words, partner.
So the first question you asked was, what is assertive spirituality? And I am curious after doing the interview, what do you think?
Yeah, I've reflected on this because not only did I do the interview, but I edited it and I've listened to it again. So I've had three shots at it. And what I understand assertive spirituality to be is, first of all, the first word, assertive, is the middle ground between passivity, a communication style where you just let people run all over you, and aggressiveness, a communication style where you run over everybody else. So assertive is this sweet spot in between aggressiveness and passivity. The spirituality part, I'm less clear about, and I will just take this opportunity to say that we can ask DS these questions because she is joining us on Wednesday, September 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a talk back, and we want you to come and be with DS and ask her any questions that you might have. If I were in the talk back and had the talking stick, this would be my question. I would love to go with her a little bit more deeply into the spirituality part.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I would love to hear what she has to say about that. And of course, I mean, I had the same I had the same insight you did. And of course, the tickle spot for me was, oh, aggressive spirituality gets beyond the binaries of, passivity and aggressiveness, right? Yeah. It finds that sweet spot.
Let me just interrupt you. You said aggressive spirituality, but I think you meant assertive.
I did mean assertive spirituality. I definitely meant assertive spirituality. We have quite enough aggressive spirituality in our world. Thank you very much. And quite enough passive.
Yeah, that I think, yes.
And we can go into that more when we discuss, because I loved the way she talked about how the passive spirituality really opens the door and allows politics to dominate in houses of faith. But we can get there.
We'll bracket that, because that's brilliant. I didn't even
bracket
pick up
that.
On that. I didn't even pick up on that. So thank you, Shana.
But the second question you asked is, how is assertive spirituality similar or different from other things that we are aware of? And I am really curious to hear where you went with that, because I had asked you, what kinds of things are you talking about? You know, disciplines or just things? And you left it wide open. So where did you come down on that?
Yeah, I feel like assertive spirituality is related to, at least in my experience, to things like creative conflict resolution, where you are, again, finding this stance of being able to put your view out there and also take in other points of view. And also, when I listen to DS talk about assertive spirituality, I hear a lot about trauma and stress responses, at least in her, you know, in her approach to the work that she does. And so that connects me to, you know, we've had guests on our show talking about trauma and trauma in our culture. So I think another place of connection for me, something similar, are the psychological pictures that we have lifted up, painted for our listening community, and the ways to heal traumas and be healthier presences in our public life. So those are two things that I found as points of contact.
Wow, those are both really insightful. I think what pinged for me was nonviolent communication, the course in nonviolent communication. That one was pinging. And also, I don't know if it is so much a thing, but, you know, when we, religious communities are about covenant. Covenant is one of those things that we only do in religious community. You know, other people may make agreements, they may make vows, they, you know, may swear an allegiance, but in faith communities, we covenant. And there's always this this point in the covenant where we talk about step up, step back, right? So if you're a person who tends to share a lot, think about, be aware of that, right? And think about stepping back some. If you're not a person who tends to share a lot, think about that, and please be willing to step in and engage in the conversation. And I feel like assertive spirituality is asking that of us all, to step up and to step back, to be mindful, first of all, of where we are, and also to be mindful of those times when we've been activated, right? When something got us, you know, and now we're either upset, we're angry, maybe it got us in a good way and we're excited or enthusiastic, but to have a sense of self-awareness, you really can't be a good conversation partner without that. You know, a sense of self-awareness and simultaneously holding focus on the other. What, you know, are they still engaged in the conversation? Did I lose them 10 minutes ago? Have people gone to sleep? Did half the people leave the room? You know, I mean, you and I do this when we preach, right? You kind of have to keep your eyes on the house, because every once in a while you're going to say something and they're all sitting in the pews looking, and you know that you just lost them, you know? Hopefully you know where you lost them so you can bring them back. But so that's both self-awareness and awareness of other. I don't know if that's a thing. I can't put a title or a name on it, but those are the things that got me thinking of. The third thing you asked, and this was a fascinating question, if assertive spirituality reached a critical mass, there was a critical mass of people out there in the world who were practicing it, how would we know? And I assume the follow-up question to that would be sort of what would a world look like in which the vast majority of people were practicing assertive spirituality?
You know, I'm really glad that you have brought us back to these questions, which I wasn't, I was offering out for our listening community, but wasn't necessarily going to answer myself. But you called me to my higher teacher and
they were really good questions, Chris.
Have led me to this kind of reflection. And I didn't have an answer to this last question until you were just speaking just now. And I think it looks like when there's a critical mass, you know, you will know it. We will know it because there will be more healthy communities of all kinds. Local communities, church communities, civic communities. And I intuit that as an answer because assertive spirituality as a communication mode is about genuine connection. It's about people being genuinely connected one to another in healthy conversations. And we know that our society right now is just marked by hyper-individualism and the sicknesses, psychological, spiritual, physical, that come from hyper-individuality and hyper-individualism. I mean, a sign of, or a symptom of, or maybe even a cause of those things is an inability to communicate in healthy ways. So disagree with that. Push back. Or do you like what I just said?
No, I like it. I like it. And I was just thinking about, you know, Jesus says the poor will always be with you, right? So for once, I'm going to just take him at his word and say, you know, the poor, the marginalized will always be with us. But in our current society, those who are centered, those who are at the top of the power pyramid, know little, if anything at all, about the people below them on the power pyramid. And I think in a world in which assertive spirituality was being practiced, we might still be wrestling. I mean, equality is a management issue. You know, it's never like we're going to get to nirvana of equality and that will be stasis. You know, that's always going to be a management issue. But I think we'd be able to better manage it because those at the top would, in fact, know way more about the people below them on the curve, and knowing them and knowing about their circumstances would radically alter our tolerance to be in positions of power, right? And radically alter maybe the perspective of the people who are not in power, understanding that wholesome societies, that the people who are at the top of the power pyramid, while they have more power and privileges, the fact that there is a power pyramid and they're on top of it is costing them their souls as well. Like, you know, there's a cost. So I think that pyramid would be way less fixed. It would appear to waver on a screen. It would move like, you know, like an amoeba. It would just constantly be forming and falling apart again and forming and falling apart again.
It's really interesting to me that you raise the question of power, because I went there as well in my notes. And let me just ask a question of clarification and then a little follow-up. In the little vignette that you just told us, this little story that you've told us of, are you imagining people in power practicing assertive spirituality in the sense that then they're become better listeners to those who are on the margins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm imagining it goes all the way around. I'm imagining everybody is. I'm hoping that people who are on the margins are also practicing it, because you and I both know that there is a theology out there in which the focus is so much on the afterlife that people are led to not revolt. You know, don't rise up, you know, be at peace with the world, you know, understand if your life sucks, it's because God wants it that way. And once you understand God wants it that way, you can live with it just fine. You'll get yours, you know, in the hereafter. And I think that's crappy theology, but I also think it is a theology designed to maintain an oppressed class.
So my little rejoinder, and I think it's interesting to point out how we differ sometimes. And in my vision, I'm not like, I get it if those in power would, I get what you're saying, and I hope you trust that I get what you're saying. The scenario I'm putting forward.
You keep inviting me to do this show with you, so I just assume that. But thanks for clarifying, Chris. It's
oh my God. I don't hold out great hope that those with power will practice assertive spirituality. And so when
well,
I was
you didn't ask about hope and reality. You just said what would it look like if masses be, and I mean, could we see that sweet? Yeah, I mean, if you were to say, all right, let's look at the, you know, the entire spectrum of society and say everybody but those at the top of the power pyramid are practicing assertive spirituality, the pyramid still probably winds up flipping, you know, at some point, because that can't, it can't, it wouldn't be tolerated anymore.
Fair enough. I want to invite our listening community to join our talk back scheduled for Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, Wednesday, September 28th. To get the Zoom invitation, send an email to whatingods@ribeye-media.com. You know, part of it, Shana, I'm hoping that people from DS's assertive spirituality community will be part of that talk back. I really want to meet those folks who are engaged with DS on that work. Let's do a little bit more reflecting on this concluding show of our show bundle, again, reflecting on the conversation that we had with D.S. Leiter. Shana, a question I had for us, and I puzzle about this. I'm really puzzling through. I'm curious to, because it's all about us, I'm curious about how her project intersects with ours, and where do our listening community see the points of contact, and then where we are different, or where we have a different emphasis? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I mean, as you know, I've been sick with COVID for 2 days. I'm still pretty sick, so
it's okay if you don't.
Well, no, I mean I can't go to soaring, you know, intellectual heights with this one, but. You know, at the most basic level, recognizing that something is amiss in our world, and recognizing that somewhere in the context of what is wrong, a different kind of conversation is necessary in order to start moving towards a place of health. That's a very, like, uber oversimplified.
It jibes with my oversimplified brain. Like, I thought you just nailed it. That was great.
Is that where you were going, or
well,
I mean, did you have a thought about
that's,
it?
No, that's I didn't think of that, but I think it's actually you may think that's really simplistic, but I think it's just very powerful. Like
I'm not sure I know what I'm thinking at this point, but
it's a very basic starting point, but I think it's worth pointing out.
Yeah, I mean, I think lots of us are aware that something is amiss. And I think that's sort of potentially a point of commonality and a point where conversations, even with people who believe very different things from us, I think about people who I know whose politics, whose theology is radically different from my own. I mean, they feel like things are amiss too. They may be getting back to answers in a different way or leaning on different things to come up with what I think are, you know, not necessarily great answers or answers that are going to help move us along. But I think there is a common sense that something is amiss. Something has gone terribly wrong.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I could pursue that, but I'm not going to pursue it because it's.
Well, I mean, that is something we could get into with. That's something we can get into with DS when she's here. I'd love to hear her sense.
Yeah, great. That's great, Shana. Thank you. Yeah, September 28th, 7 p.m. Talk back. You're invited. Here's a connection I see between her work and ours, which is a foregrounding, an emphasis on language. She's coming at it as a communications professor who's interested in rhetoric, and we come at it as theologians interested in language about God and morality. I mean, we're not just in theology, but both share a focus on words and how they're used and the realities that are created through language.
And this is, as you know, one of my prized topics. One of my favorite places in the world to go is really about the power of language. And again, I've said this any number of times, but if somebody's listening to the show and you're new and you haven't heard it before, you know, I would encourage a reading or rereading of Helen Keller's autobiography, because there is a moment there when she first gets language. She gets the notion, like a distant idea that the cool substance that was flowing over her hand, her teacher was holding her hand under a water spigot, the teacher was holding her hand under a spigot, simultaneously pressing the letters, sign language letters, into her other hand. And she made the connection that what the teacher was doing in one hand meant this cool something flowing over her other hand. And she talks about something that is almost the equivalent of the Big Bang Theory, really. You know, that her world, I think the word she said is, my world literally exploded. The power of language is so, so big and so undervalued sometimes. Especially, you know, we say stupid things like, oh, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, hell yeah, they will. Words will bury you. Especially these days, given social media's, you know, long reach, et cetera, et cetera. Language is everything. It all begins with the word. So,
yeah. I'll just mention one thing that I feel like is a different, a place of departure between her project and ours. A little bit of a different emphasis. As I was listening to her and feeling like I was learning more about assertive spirituality, I think DS has a strongly psychological, she talks about trauma, she talks about stress responses, and she talks about safety and shame. And so a lot of these dynamics are foregrounded, I think, in her reflections on communication and on how society frames things linguistically and how we respond to bullies and all of that whole cluster of concepts there. Whereas we foreground theology rather than psychology. We touch on psychology because you can't help but our foundation is geared more towards foregrounding moral reflection and theological reflection and what are the stories that the deep stories we're telling ourselves about human flourishing and redemption and forgiveness and sin, social sin, how do we, all of these questions theologically grounded to my mind. Any thoughts about that?
I'm wondering if those aren't just sort of two points that are just sort of a little bit further back on the path, and that if you continue on both of these paths, if they don't, in fact, come back together at some point, because it all has to do with human flourishing. And whereas those of us who are theologians, theos, logos, literally a conversation about God, use that conversation as a way to be whole and present and authentically self-expressed, that in the language of spirituality, which may not be associated necessarily with a particular God or a particular scripture, or but does, you know, it is also focused on people being whole and authentic and fully self-expressed. I mean, I think you're right. I think we're on parallel paths. That I think, again, we will merge, I mean, you know, down the road a piece.
I'm going to say, nicely done, Shayna Appel, playing injured today with your COVID. Man, you're like, if I were in your shoes, I would be talking gibberish.
Yeah.
Well, I usually am talking gibberish. I'd be even worse. So,
yeah, yesterday I would have been talking gibberish.
You're doing tremendous work. We want to have you join us together with D.S. Leiter, Wednesday, September 28th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Send us an email, whatingods@ribeyemedia.com, and we will send you the Zoom link so you can ask her the questions. It's a talk back. The idea is you talk back to us and to her, to DS.
So, Chris, if people go to What in God's Name, they can also get a link to ask, or they can get some sort of a link to ask for the link for the show.
Yes. What a great idea, Shayna. Yes, indeed. You can go to our website, whatingods.com. That's another way to find the email and to get linked to the Zoom conversation, the talk back on Wednesday, September 28th at 7 p.m. How many times can I say, join us on Wednesday, September 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern? Be curious, Shayna.
Go deep, Chris.
And shine light. We could surely use your help, and certainly our culture and society need your help. Support our work on Patreon. Support DS's work on Patreon, except I don't think she has a Patreon, but she does have a tip jar on PayPal, so you can find her there. Support DS, support What in God's Name. For less than a dollar a week, you can help us sustain and enlarge our reach. Invite people to engage. There's a lot of people in our culture who are just turned off by anything having to do with public conversations. They've turned back into their private lives. Understandably so. There's a lot of just stuff to turn away from. And that's going to be problematic over the long haul. We're not going to be able to sustain a self-governing society, a self-governing culture, if we turn away. So invite people back. We are curating, supporting, making good conversations that get beyond the stupid food fight of partisan politics. So invite people back to the circle. And what else, Shayna? I think we're there. I think we've landed the plane. This is show three of our show bundle, and we look forward to seeing folks on Wednesday the 28th. For a talk back with D.S. Leiter on Zoom.
This we do. Great being with you today, Chris.
Great to be with you, Shayna. Feel better, all right?
Thanks, pal.
All righty.